Welcome back to the jet plane, except it's not actually the jet plane today, Silas. We're actually landed. We're in a layover, and today is our first layover in America, in fact. And so in the studio today, as always, we have Edward and Sam. As you guys know, they've been doing this 5410 journey. It's been a while since we've had one of these layovers, so you know it feels good to be back. I think last time we were doing this, it was in Uganda or in Kenya. It was after we had visited Edward's hometown, so that was a lot of fun. So, all that being said, we are back at a layover, and today we're going to be talking about Angola. That was one of your recent trips. And again, just to remind the people at home, you know, this is kind of our way of, I guess, shortening story. I don't know. It's just one story or one thing that impacted you from each country, the main thing that impacted you in a short little episode. So that way people have something to go off of to follow along in your journey. So what was one thing that you took away from your trip to Angola?
Well, I think that I will go first, and I know Edward may have a different thing, but I will tell you that I think of the word of entrance. Getting into the country of Angola. This trip, this layover, as we talk about Angola, it quite honestly took us three times to go to Angola. And every single time was very difficult. One time we were at a border, a rebel-type border with landmines and all these different things, and God shut us down there by not allowing Edward in but me in. And we found out later that it would have been a nightmare, like as in nightmare, for us to go there. And then the next time he shut it down, Edward had a problem getting some information, getting some his documents around, which was weird and difficult. And that shut it down within, like we're talking about within days of getting on an airplane. We had to cancel that. This time, Edward, we got into the country, and I just like, how were we received in Angola?
You know, it is one thing to go to a place, and this was very strange. We got stuck. Do you know when you reach what you have been anticipating, and you get there, and you are stuck, you hit the wall. We arrived in Angola. The person who was to welcome us also got stuck somewhere. No phone contact. That is all we had, was to contact him through the phone. We couldn't get it. Angola is a Portuguese speaking country. We are in the airport. Nobody knows what we are talking about, and we are trying to explain to them that we have come for this. They read our books. We're trying to explain that to them. And then they write, pagan. Pagan.
We are pagan. They labeled all of our teaching material pagan material and rejected it for going into the country. Now, no one, we couldn't speak to anyone. And our guy that was supposed to meet us there didn't show up. And when we were flying into the country, we got to see the entire country was flooded.
Yeah.
Well, do you know why the guy didn't show up? Because the entire country is flooded. And if we would have went by road, we wouldn't have made it. So we flew in, but he didn't make it. For how many days was it that he didn't make it?
Yeah, for one full week.
Yeah, 7 days. We were there. Couldn't speak to anybody. Didn't have any connections, and we just kept wrestling with God, saying, God, do you want us? What do you want? What do you want? Because we had all these plans to visit Sao Tome, the Congo Brazzaville, the Congo, and
Central Africa,
Central African Republic, and that all blew up. And we're like, okay, God, this is our third time here. What are you doing? What is going on, God? We just kept feeling like God wanted us to be faithful. We run into a driver, a taxi driver.
Yeah,
that can speak very little English.
Yeah, in the airport, only one,
right,
guy who can speak very little English.
So it was very interesting because We were standing. They leave you alone, by the way. They don't help you. Nobody comes to help you. I'm standing, and Edward, we're sitting for hours because we didn't know. We didn't hear from Antonio at all that he wasn't coming. We didn't hear where he was. I was convinced probably 3 days in that Antonio died on the way. Yes. Something happened. Something happened. Because there's no way. We heard from no one.
Yeah.
We had no contacts. So then this driver that kind of befriended us, he took us. I seen a KFC. Like, they have no restaurants. But there's a KFC there.
Yes.
Right? Oh, Colonel. Thank you, Colonel. And if KFC is listening to this podcast somehow and they'd like to sponsor our trip, we're in. But he runs us to that KFC and finds us a motel. Mm-hmm. Then he goes back to the airport the next day with us and somehow, I don't know, somehow allows them to, talks to them to get our bags out that they wanted to keep. It took maybe 3 hours mm-hmm. of sitting at the airport with them arguing, wrestling, talking, arguing, wrestling, talking. Do you have a pastor that can sign for these? Now, the reason why they wanted a pastor to sign for these, because he probably would have been in trouble bringing this pagan material in. But because this was a taxi cab driver who was a non-Christian, somehow he got them without us paying any bribe or anything.
Mm-hmm. He had to talk to them, try to explain to them. You know, sometimes I realize how God does things. You know, sometimes you say, oh, God has done this. But there are sometimes you can see God working. This guy is a non-Christian. He doesn't know the material. He doesn't know what we have. He's not a pastor. And is trying to argue with these people, to explain to them that these are materials to teach Christians. And he is not a Christian. And so this guy talks, goes to see the big boss, who everybody here, he talks to them. He says, oh, you guys, just relax, just sit down. We sat down there for hours. And he had to talk with them until he got us these, all our bags. It was unbelievable. And now, even after getting them, we don't know where we are going with them. We almost wanted to leave them because now we didn't know what we are going to do with them. So you see how God, sometimes we say, oh, God, the Lord fights my battle. That was the time I saw really God fights for us.
Yeah, and he's bringing in this non-Christian guy to do the bidding, who's aggressive and very, very confident. And he is literally going to battle for us and for no money. Mm-hmm. And his brother came with us. By the way, the $2,500 we paid for a car for the 2 weeks we were going to be there, or maybe a little over 2 weeks, gone because the car the guy rented in Zambia was driving to Angola, broke down, and the guy, it took him, he walked for days without food or water. Antonio did, this old guy. And finally, we get in contact with him, and we don't know how we're going to get to these places. Like, this was a 14-hour, 16-hour drive that we had to go. No vehicle, no way of getting a vehicle now because we don't have one, to our teaching places. Lo and behold, our driver, warrior, getting our materials. So we have no materials to teach. We have no meetings because we're missing them all. And no leader to guide us, our translator, to guide us where we need to go. So that was pretty interesting. So then he says, well, I can drive you to these meetings. So for like very, very cheap, he says, yeah, I'll drive you. Little did we know that he's going to ask his brother to go with us. And we're packed like sardines in a Yugo-sized car.
Oh,
me, yes. Edward, and one other guy wedged in the back. It was miserable. I had to, like, literally, your turn to breathe, Edward. Yeah, okay, it's my turn to breathe.
Yes.
For 14 hours. It's pretty grueling. It was worth it.
It's interesting because, I don't know, hearing that story, it's like God's clearly given both of you a lot of tools as far as, like, your voices. You're both very, very eloquent in your speech and able to deliver God's message in a very meaningful way. Your connections with people in countries and being able to go in and things like that. But it's interesting that all of that was just kind of left by the wayside and replaced by this one guy.
It's true.
What kind of impact do you think it has, or did you guys see it have with him being that, I mean, for lack of a better word, that stand-in tool when God uses you in such a way, like, without, I mean, he didn't go into that interaction thinking God was going to use him in that way, probably.
I don't know what you'd say, but that's a good question. Ministry, we always say, ministry is never bigger than the one person. And, you know, in my mind, when we're going to train leaders. Give me a leader of a church of 1,000, right? That is going to change his viewpoint and understand the Bible in a deeper way and really turn people loose, and a revival is going to break out. Okay, God, you gave us a taxi cab driver. And then God's just reminding us that ministry and mission is never bigger than the one person right in front of you. So this guy goes to all of our teachings, just so we're aware. We made it to two significant meetings. And in those meetings, these countries gathered. So in the meetings, we had, Edward, who all was in the meeting? What countries were in the meetings?
Yeah, in the meetings, we had people from Sao Tome, people from the Congo-Brazzaville, mm-hmm. and the people from Congo.
Yeah,
DRC, because that is where they connect. And
So those are the people that came to the meeting. I mean, pretty significant numbers, really, too, pretty decent. But right front and center of both meetings was the driver and his brother. And I think his brother just went along because it was a free trip into the interior, right, for 14 hours. And so he was in for the ride. And, I'm not so sure everything was on the up and up with them, you know. But it was pretty awesome. They got to hear all the teachings. He asked for our contact information. He sends me messages even to this day. Hey, how are you doing? I hope you're doing well. Hey, man, pray for me. I'm praying for you. You know, I'm really, the teachings were so awesome. They recorded our teachings. They're there on their phones recording everything we're saying. And so that's the impact there. But there was a mark of Angola in these countries that came together.
You see, one thing that I realized is you can either take yourself on a mission, but God can take you. Most times people have the ability and they have the connections. And people always ask us, and even somebody asked us today, how do you get, who are you working with? Who is connecting you with these places? And most times I realize we don't see God because we already have the connections. So we take ourselves, or somebody takes you, or somebody or a big organization takes you. But when God takes you, you come to a point where you are helpless. It is only God who connects the dots. And one thing I learned with Angola, God wanted to show us how he can use anything. There are times, Andrea, this our driver, as the translator was translating, sometimes when they translate something because they don't understand very well, he stands up, he's a non-Christian, and he says to them, no, this is what they are saying. He stands up and begin to translate and just say to them, this is what they meant, because he had been with us for some few days, mm-hmm. so he could understand Sam. Yeah. So then he stands up. I was amazed. And every time, it was always, it tells those people, we want to start. It was like now the one trying to help us even organize the meetings. He took over, like.
Yes, he was very passionate. I'd say the mark, if somebody said, what was the mark of Angola in this gathering? Youth.
Yes.
Youth would be the young. I thought they were high schoolers. I was a little disappointed to begin with. Then I started realizing listener message and what they're talking about. They were pastors, young pastors that were just so excited to hear and be equipped for their ministries. And so it was, I would say, what was the mark of, if somebody asked me, what was the mark of this journey? It would be God makes a way, and it would be I'm raising up an army in the youth. And I think that's happening in America too. I think that some of the young people are just tired. They want to be used by God. They want to do something important. And so that struck us pretty heavy, the young people. And the questions, young people ask great questions. If you'll give them a forum and you will talk with them and expect big things out of them, they want to do great things. And that's what we saw in Angola for me.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's a wrap on Angola, and we'll see you on the next layover.